Take your Bibles, and if you would, and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, if you would, let us stand as able. Beginning at verse 13, Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, or a small rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the church. Paul writes that you died for the church. It is special. It was special to you, and it should be special to us. Lord, may we at this time of season remember that the reason that you came was to die for our sins, to establish a church. Lord, may we be found faithfully serving you when you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. But anyways, as we continue to read chapter 16, verse 21, chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." But he, being Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." If one was to travel to Oxford, England, they could stand in the exact place where Hugh Latimer, Nicholas Ridley, and Thomas Cranmer were burned for their faith in 1555. It is believed as they were burning to death, Latimer said to Ridley, "We shall this day light a candle by God's grace in England, as I trust shall never be put out." These men did not see the fruit of their labor and martyrdom, but the light of God's word and the freedom to spread the gospel swept England, Wales, Scotland. Sadly, that light has been greatly dimmed in the United Kingdom. Although there is still freedom to preach God's word and the gospel for which Littimer and Ridley fought for and then were martyred, the free exercise of Christianity has come under immense attack in the UK. But praise God, the light still shines forth as godly men and women are still proclaiming the truth of God's word. Is it important that the Covenant Baptist Church continue to send forth the light? To send forth the gospel, to be a lighthouse, a beacon, to stand forth against that which is wrong. In a recent newsletter from Ken Ham and Answers in Genesis, I read the following quote. We must continue to boldly and unashamedly preach the truth of God's word and the gospel. Unquote. Boldly and unashamedly. In the track rack in the back, there are four tracks that can be given out easily at the Christmas season. You're welcome to take them as long as you will use them. Put them in a Christmas card and to mail it to a friend that you believe needs to know about Christ. We're not to be ashamed that we are Bible-believing Christians. Interestingly, the motto of Oxford University comes from the words of Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light." That was the motto. It's on their, the coat of arms. One of their graduates that they honor is Richard Dawkins. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the works of Dawkins, but he was educated at Oxford and is one of the most aggressive atheists in the world today, whose goal is speaking and writing to lead as many people from God as he can. His latest book is entitled Outgrowing God. May I say this? I hope you never think you don't need God. Do you think there's a reason that one of the songs we sang today, I Need Thee Every Hour, was because of what I was going to preach on? The fact of the matter is we need God every hour of every day. And when you no longer need God, you have a problem. The job of the Covenant Baptist Church and you is to reveal the bankrupt atheist religion of Richard Dawkins. It's hollow, and it will provide nothing of substance. Verse 21 of what we read, and from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples. Why did Jesus Christ come to the earth? Came to die. He created a world that was special. Now, I don't know how special, because the world still is pretty special. But can you imagine it without sin? No air wigs. No mosquitoes. No ants. Well, ants have a purpose. Not in your house? Okay. And I agree with that, because we had an ant invasion last year, and it was horrendous. I don't know how many cans of Raid we went through. Yes. Did you say it was sinful? It was terrible. It was terrible, yes. But you can imagine that the world was a pretty special place. Until what? Till sin. Till sin came. And sin corrupted society. Sin corrupted our world as we know it today. Sin has brought sickness and disease and hell, things that have, that shorten life. It brings bad attitudes. It brings racism. It brings slavery. Sin brings problems. And we needed a Savior. We needed a Savior. We needed someone that would take away our sins. Can you take away my sins? Can I take away your sins? I mean, I'm a Baptist preacher. Can I take away your sins? I cannot. I cannot. There's only one that could take away your sins. And that's why Jesus Christ came. He didn't come so that we could give Christmas gifts on December 25th. Now, let me say this. Christ was not born on December 25th. Okay? He wasn't born then, but this is the day that we celebrate, and I'm glad that we can, and I'm not against decorating. I enjoy decorating for the Christmas season. If you were to come to my house, you would find that we have 3 Christmas trees. So you say, well, Pastor Paul, obviously you think Christmas trees are special. No, I just like decorations. I just like decorations. The one in our front room has nothing but blown glass ornaments on it that we've gotten from our travels from Alaska to Hawaii, from all over the United States, because they remind us of the blessings of God. And I have one in the front room, the family room, that is eclectic. You know what it means by eclectic? All kinds of different things, okay? And we have a new one, thank you, Mrs. Allen. It's a pickle. Now, I have a pickle, but now I have a second pickle. And this pickle I didn't hide as difficult as the other one. But the fact of the matter is, in the basement, we have one that is for the grandkids. But is that why Jesus Christ came, so I could put up Christmas trees? Are you sure that's why he didn't come? Did he die so we could put up, wreaths on the wall? No. These two that are on the side walls, the Jones's daughter made for us, and we appreciate that, and let her know that once again they are on the walls. But that's not why Christ came, is it? No, that's not why he came. Let me say this: Christ doesn't care about coals. Okay? He doesn't care about the shopping part. What does he care about? Your soul, your one possession that will last all eternity, for all eternity. Do people hate God? Oh, a lot of people hate God. They don't want God to tell them what to do. They don't want God to have anything in their life. They despise him. And so Jesus said, I must go to Jerusalem. And then he says, and I'm paraphrasing, I will be tried, I will be beaten, I will be hung on a cross. What does the picture of a cross show you? Well, to that time and period, the cross was a symbol of death. Because you were put on a cross for one purpose. And that purpose was for you to die. We have up here in the baptistry a cross that was made by Jim Myrick. Remember that name, because someday I'm going to be gone. Jim Myrick. He went to an old barn and he took a beam and he cut the beam in such a way that he made the cross. And it hangs up there by a large chain. Thank God it's hung there for a long time. And that is an old rugged cross. It's rugged. But the picture of the cross is a picture of death. Of death. And Jesus said that he was going to die. But was that the end of the story? What does the last few words there of verse 21 say? I don't have my Bible here with me. So what does it say? Raised again. Can I ask you a question? Why weren't all the disciples at the gravesite on the third day? Don't you think they should have been there? Don't you think that Mary and all the women that were going to take care of Christ's body, those that were at the cross, don't you think they should have been there? Yes. But the fact of the matter is, it didn't matter they weren't there. Christ still arose from the grave. Triumphant. Christ came to die. Christ came to die. I am glad for the gifts, aren't you? Yeah. I'm glad that I'm going to be able to give my wife something. I found it. Yeah. We had the coupon. Yeah. $20 off, plus it was $40 off. Yeah, even Cheryl Wuckey would approve. Yeah, it was a good buy. Okay, but then I have something else for her, too. I'm not going to tell you about that either. But yeah, yeah. It's in a silver box. Okay, yes. The wages of sin is death. Either your death or Christ's death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The wages of sin. Sin brings death. When animals were sacrificed, they all were what? Killed because of sin. Jesus was killed because of your sin. And when I say your sin, am I talking about mine also? Please don't think I think I'm above you and I haven't sinned. Believe me, I have sinned. Don't ask me about them either, okay? I'm not going to tell you. But Christ died for your sins, but if you will not accept that gift, then you will die the second death, spend eternity in hellfire. But then the man that had answered the question about who do men say that I am, and he says, thou art the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the one that we've waited for. The one who said that now says, no, we're not going to allow this to happen. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Did Satan want Jesus Christ to die? No. Because Christ came to save sinners. And Satan wants to rule your life. Satan wants to come in and take control. And he is trying through Peter to say, you don't need to die. You don't have to do it. And Peter was in the wrong place saying the wrong thing. May I say this, when we stand in the way of God's plan, we are working on Satan's behalf. Isn't that a scary thought? That if we are standing in God's way, because God has a plan. His plan is to get the gospel to all the world. And if we're standing in a way to block that ministry, to block that work, then we are standing on behalf of Satan trying to stop that which is good. Isn't that a scary thought? That we could be doing Satan's work? Folks, there's a job to be done. And it's to be done through Jesus Christ and his followers. His followers. The things of God versus the things of man. But then let's go to verse 24. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me. To his disciples, he said, if any man or woman will come after me, let him deny himself. Strong words. Because basically, who do we want to put as number one in our life? Ourself, right? And then our loved ones. Sure. We want to put them first, but who should we put first? Jesus should be first. He should be number one in our lives. Nobody said that's easy. Because in our human nature, we want to put self first. But Jesus is speaking here, so don't get mad at the messenger. I'm just delivering the message. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. What is the cross a symbol of? Death. Isn't it interesting that believers wear necklaces and they have a cross on it? I've seen tattoos and they're on the arm and it's of a cross, a symbol of death, and yet it is a symbol of life. Because Jesus dying on the cross provided eternal life for those who believe. Amen. It's your choice. You have to decide if you'll take that gift, take up his cross, and follow me. You ever been to the hospital and they're either going to do surgery or a test, and the nurse says to you, follow me. And you think to yourself, I'm not sure I want to follow you. I don't want to go through those doors. Nobody ever comes back out those doors. They always go in those doors. That's because they take you out another door usually, right? Yes. Follow me, and you think, okay. I know what they're going to do in there. They're going to put an IV in my arm, or they're going to make me get into those lovely gowns. Aren't those nice? Now, sometimes they'll give you two. Cover up the backside. That's always a good thing. Yes. Follow me. Follow me. Jesus said, follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You know, that in man's eyes, it's all about me. That I can have everything I want. And that's why I'm in America, so that I can have everything I want. That's why I have a job, so I can have everything I want. But the fact of the matter, it's not all about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And he said, whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, I can't prove this. But we find in the book of John that he has gone to prepare a mansion for us. Let me ask you this. Do you think all the mansions are the same size? No. I don't think they're all the same size. I think some will be bigger because of things we've sent ahead to build the mansion. Okay? And I think there are going to be some small mansions. Now, do you think there are going to be some mansions closer to the throne? And there are going to be some mansions, they're way out there. I mean, they're still in heaven, praise God. But they're going to be way out there. And there are going to be some mansions that are way over here, close to the Lord. How close are you going to be to the Lord? You say, well, I don't know. How hard are you trying? Our works will not get us into heaven. But once we are in heaven, how close are we going to be to the Lord? Are we trying to do our best for the cause of Christ? Are we trying? Or you think, well, you know, we pay Pastor Paul and we pay Pastor Stephen. They're to do all the work. You know, if you expect the two of us to do all the work, we're falling short. Just simply put, we need help. Hello? Yeah, amen. We need help. That's just simply the way it is. How hard are you trying? Let me ask you this. Have you given out a track any time lately? I mean, I don't mean did you go into the men's room and leave one on the urinal. Please don't leave tracks on the urinals. Okay. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, did you put a track on the sink there in the bathroom at Pilot gas station? Or Flying J, or one of the other. I mean, when was the last time you gave out a tract to somebody? That's why I said we got tracts you can put in your Christmas cards and you can send them that way. You know what you can do with a tract? If you don't pay your bills with automatic withdrawal, you can put one in your Edison bill and set it in Edison. They won't turn off your power. You can do a lot of things. You can give it to a waitress, sure. Things you can do with a tract. But to someone at work, a friend, a neighbor, how hard are we trying? If we're going to follow Christ, we need to pick up our cross and follow him. Are we willing to do that? It's hard. It's not easy. Sometimes you say something to try to move something in a certain direction, and you say, Lord, I'll say this, and you move. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't, but the opportunity is there. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know what Satan's desire is when it comes to our soul? He wants you to discount it. He wants you to believe that all good people go to heaven. Do all good people go to heaven? No. I didn't know Mother Teresa. I don't think anyone in here knew Mother Teresa. Would you say Mother Teresa was a good woman? Hello? Yes. Is she in heaven because of good works? If she is in heaven, it's because she accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Yeah. You know, if one is going to go to heaven, it's because they have accepted Christ as their Savior. But you know, a lot of people have simply said, not now. Not now. Jack Hiles, and I've given you this illustration before, so some of you have heard it. Jack Hiles got on an elevator with Elvis Presley. Purely by accident. They were riding up in the elevator, and Jack Hiles said to Elvis Presley, can I talk to you about Jesus Christ? And Elvis Presley said, not now. Now, I don't know how he was with his relationship to the Lord. I'm talking about Elvis Presley. Jack Hiles was a preacher, so I hope he was saved. Not now. I'm busy. Maybe later. What will a man give in exchange for a soul? And then with the last thought, his time is all but over. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Rewards. Are we going to receive any rewards? I hope that we do. Shall we stand together? Number 17 in our songbook, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. You know what the Lord's way is? To accept Him as Savior, to follow Him, to be used of Him. So be careful as you sing this song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, if you don't mean it. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and pray and say, Lord, I need to get things right in my own life. Because I guarantee you, in a group this big, there's someone in here, your life isn't right. You say, well, now, boy, I can't go to the altar because they're going to think my life isn't right. Well, no, because you could be coming and praying for your wife or your son or your daughter or your friend because you probably know someone there that life isn't right. You can come and pray for them. And so we're going to think you're coming to pray for them, okay? If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you can come forward and we'd be glad to show you from the Word of God what you need to do. We'd be glad to do that. Maybe you'd like to come and just pray that the Lord will bless the Covenant Baptist Church, that we will remain strong in our beliefs. You can come and sit on the front pew. You can even sit down right there where you're at and pray there. But the most important thing is that you get right with the Lord. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, your blessings now upon this time of invitation. Give us direction, Lord. Give us strength. Lord, we pray for that soul that may be near hell even right now. Touch their hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.